following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for tuning in, streaming, downloading, whatever it is that you do. Here, episode number 287. Last week, of course, I got on my horse and had a little rant, I guess, in a sarcastic way. If you haven't heard it, go back and go take a listen to it. This time out, we're going to shift gears. But before I do that, I wanted to make a mention of the fact that the conspiracy theorists have been working overtime this week. Today being the 11th day of August, it's a Sunday. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you don't have to go far to find more on it. But Jeffrey Epstein, the accused pedophile, wealthy guy, flying people into his private island with a bunch of young girls, young ladies, all below the age of consent, from what we've heard. A bunch of fancy people flying in on the Lolita Express. Some, heavy hitter names that we've seen so far. And then, with all this happening, Epstein up and dies. He committed suicide, apparently. Although some reports are saying that, well, he was on suicide watch. Others are saying that he wasn't. I guess it depends on where you get your news from. And then there are those who immediately saw this news and said, well, clearly there's something afoot here. And it depended on what side of the fence you were on as to who did what. One side said, it was the Clintons, clearly, because they're trying to cover up for Bill. And then the other side was saying, it was clearly Trump's people because, they're, trying to protect him, or whatever the case may be. And these are the dumbest arguments I think I've heard. I guess it's the way the world we live in now. When something relatively big is happening, a bit of drama, something is afoot, then immediately the mind begins to wonder, there's got to be something more to it than this. And the fact of the matter is this, folks, and like it or not, he killed himself. Was he forced to? Who knows? Who knows what went through his mind at the last second? Because here's the thing. He knew his goose was cooked. He knew he was done. There's no two ways around it. That's just the evidence was stacked against him already. He didn't want to spend the rest of his days in prison. We all have heard the stories of what happens to prisoners who are in because of pedophilia. Prison justice being what it is. He did himself in. There's nothing more to it than that. And they're saying, this is going to end the investigation. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. See, look, he pled not guilty. He tried to get, out while he was awaiting trial, but he was deemed a flight risk, which apparently was quite true. And they threw him into solitary to keep an eye on his ass. And every 30 minutes or so, they're supposed to check to make sure he was fine. Didn't take long to kill yourself, apparently. But at any rate, he's done. He's dead. And the idea here that if anybody wanted to off him, it wouldn't do anybody any favors because, quite simply, people, he had pled not guilty, or pleaded not guilty, however you, I always say pleaded, he pled, whatever. He, you know what I mean? He said he didn't do it. So you kill the guy, right? Because you're worried about all the evidence that's going to come out. That's not where the evidence comes from, people. It comes from, all those young ladies that were involved in all of this, and a couple of them have started speaking about this sort of stuff. The only thing left was that he would have to answer for this. He could sit there until he's blue in the face and say he didn't do it. And whether or not that was the case, who knows? I'm not the judge in this particular thing. Certainly not a witness. But it stands to reason that there was clearly something was up because he didn't want to be a part of it. It's like with the mafia. If you have information against somebody in the mafia and you want out, you get into witness relocation, if possible. you testify against these people, then you vanish, and then and that's it. They would have an interest in doing you in because you have this information. So the evidence is still there. That has not gone away. So to think that that there was something really wrong, there were some miscreants involved that were out to off the guy because of what he may or may have done. Who knows? It's up to conjecture. But he didn't do it. I mean, I think he did it. But he did it on his own. He committed suicide on his own. I don't think there was any other way around it. I know there's going to be a full investigation into it. You kind of have to at this point. But it would be kind of cool. I will say this: it would be kind of cool if people would kind of quit sharing those memes because they look sort of silly. You don't look all that bright when that happens. It's a fluid situation. We'll see what shakes out over the next several weeks. Into the fall we go. It's going to be fun. It's going to be kind of interesting to see what goes on. So, such as it is, right? And on that, we'll pause. Coming up here in a little bit, we're going to talk about your television and its new method of delivery, plus brand new bit in the program. I've been thinking about maybe putting it on over at Radio Memphis in the morning show. We'll try it out here, see how it works. Unpopular thoughts, that's coming up a little bit later on, too. Stick around, it's all next right here from Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Boy, howdy, television has sure changed, hadn't it? The way we get it, the way we watch it, the way you even just reckon with the damn thing. There for a while, and for a good number of you, cable is still a thing. Cable or satellite, you pay a service provider some money. They give you access to X number of channels, and you can't really pick and choose except for on a very minor level, and then you kind of get what you're stuck with, and then you ultimately find yourself turning the damn thing off and going to read a book. Groucho Marx famously said that the television was the most ingenious invention in the world. It does make you smarter, because every time one comes on, I go to the library and read a book. He's got a point there. There is something to be said about vegging out in front of the box and just kind of staring blankly at the screen and letting something wash over you. But people kind of got wise when they started taking a look at their own personal finances and realizing how much money they were spending on the damn cable. We were one of them. At one point, I think we were paying close to like $200 a month. It was just dumb. We weren't getting anything out of it. And it just seemed sort of silly. And like a lot of people, I started paying a little more closer attention to things like what the cable cutters were saying, that you can get so much more for a hell of a lot less. And they were right. You can get you can get your over the air stuff, your network stuff, your alphabet stuff, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, all that stuff, and a ton more. You can get it for nothing with just an antenna plugged into your TV. Spring a couple of bucks for a TiVo box, and you can DVR your ass till the cows come home, and that's great. We do that here. Now, for your more high-end stuff, for us, it was a Roku box. You buy it, $50, I think it was, something like that. The Roku 3, I don't even know if they still make the damn thing. Any rate, we got that, and then it hooks you up. You pay your, you got your Netflix bill, and you got, for us, it's a Hulu thing, and then we got Amazon. So you got those three, plus all the free shit that comes with the Roku, and you got more television you know what to do with. And because of that, and the delivery method being through the internet, it was very smart on everybody's part to do this, because now everybody realized, for like a third of what I was paying for cable television, I can get this system. Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the ass to switch between one thing to another. Like, if you're watching your on-air stuff, you have to swap your input over to the other thing, and you can do it with the remote. And if you don't know what you're doing, it can be kind of off-putting. Nevertheless, most people that have cut the cable or turned off their satellite or whatnot have ultimately found themselves to be a lot happier for it. I'm one of them. But of course, the companies are not just, the cable companies are just, they were laying there going, what the hell are we going to do now? So they kind of got into the act and they said, hey, we're over here at Comcast, and we've got an app that you can get, and you can get all of our programming for X number of dollars a month. and they're trying to get you back in there for a little cheaper than what you would have paid for their hardware and all that other stuff. Still, a lot of people said, nah, we're good. Y'all be sweet. We know how this is. But see, now, companies like Disney, which is, what, two-thirds of all of Hollywood, or more, they used to have their stuff spread out on, like, you know, Netflix or Amazon. And they're saying that they're going to take all their stuff, since they've acquired everybody, and they're going to create their own app. And then they bought Hulu, and they already own ESPN. So there's a three-way package here. Disney, Hulu, and ESPN all together for like $12 a month. Kind of hard to pass that up, quite frankly. It's a pretty good deal. But see, everybody else is starting to do the same thing. CBS has their all-access stuff, which that's $7 a month. Well, screw that. I can get CBS over the air. And if it's, you know, well, if you want to watch Star Trek Discovery, it's only available on our app. From what I'm hearing, it's not worth it. But that's just me. But see, everybody's starting to do this now. Everybody's going, they all want a piece of the pie. They figure the magic numbers between, what, $5 and $9 a month. Something like that. Well, eventually you get nickel and dimed enough, you're back up to spending to what you were spending before to get all this other content because of the quote-unquote exclusivity. They're going to find themselves in a position. This is strictly my prediction here, if you will. And it's simply this, is that people are going to get tired of all of that shit, and they're just not going to buy it. They're just going to live without. Quite frankly, ESPN, if you're a sports person, you can kind of live without. There's other ways around that whole deal. There really are. My wife is a big fan of the sports. We have the ESPN Plus thing. I forget how much it is a month, but we got that so she can keep up with some of the stuff that's going on. But that's really about it, and she doesn't really use it as much as you'd think, because a lot of stuff is on the network television.
But if you're a football fan, if you want the NFL, you got to get the NFL app.
Sure. Possibly. There's more than one way to skin a cat. Especially on Sundays, the NFL has games all over CBS and Fox. That's just what they do. So you don't necessarily need all of that.
Oh, what about the Thursday game, bro?
Go to a bar. Or spend the money. It's up to you. I mean, you're going to be held over a barrel at one shape or another. Now, here's my problem, though, and I've always felt like this. When you have content that is subscribable, okay, you pay a monthly fee for it, and then they run commercials down your throat just for that one channel. I have issues with that. I get it. You're paying for the ability to access that content, but as I mentioned, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and that may not be the correct way to do it. Be that as it may. It's still cheaper than what cable and satellite is offering. There's no two ways around that business. But that's just it. It becomes an economical decision. It's not so much, you know, what I have to have when I have to have it, which is kind of cool because we live in an on-demand world. This program notwithstanding, this is not live. Well, it's happening live in the studio, and it goes without hardly any editing. So in theory, I could go ahead and do this live. I don't know if I'd want to do that to myself or to you people, but that's just it. You know, it's what is it? It's what, near about 20 to 6 p.m. Central Time. That's how close I'm cutting it today, by the way, because I got to be out of here before long. But that's just it. You might not catch up onto this program until like Monday or Tuesday. Some of you may be later. Some of you may tune into the first 10 minutes of it and miss all this. But that's just it. It's when you want it. However long you want to put up with it. And television has really gotten into that. And thanks to the internet, a lot of television companies, most of them, got wise. And they said, you know what? We got to do this. We have to provide on-demand content to our people, or we're going to lose out. Now, there's a fine line there. Do we make it all advertisement supported, or do we make it subscription based? Because I'll be goddamned if I'm going to spend, what, $8? $9 a month for CBS All Access for them to serve ads to me. Jeff Janowitz, you know, a good friend of mine, a co-host of the Booze and Blue show, he told me the same thing. Sometimes co-host of the Booze and Blue show. He's been out of town for a while. He comes and goes. Any rate, I digress. He got it. He got the CBS All Access thing, and he said, yeah, it's kind of cool. There's some stuff in there. But my major beef is that they serve ads to you. If I'm paying you this money, why are you serving me ads? Make the app available for nothing so I can get to the content, then serve me ads, and I have no problem with that. I think audiences understand that because that's where we've always been. Radio has never cost anybody until SiriusXM came along, and they're not doing all that great. But they're subscription-based. Television, HBO, is another good example of how subscription-based television should operate. They don't run ads. If you want their stuff, you pay for it. Makes perfect sense to me. I think the second HBO started running commercials between movies, there's going to be torches and pitchforks into the streets. Must get the monster. It's going to be one of those things. So you've got these people that are trying to sort it out. Newspaper subscriptions. This is another one, even though it's not technically broadcast. But you paid for a subscription to the newspaper to open it up and read ads. You know, that doesn't necessarily work. I've seen newspapers that go out for free that are ad-supported, and they do pretty well. In fact, I know of one here in town, the Memphis Flyer, that does very well. That's how that works. People have their... The public has their limitations. They know what they want, and they know how far they're willing to go to get it. But don't ever think that all of your stuff is worth that much more. Don't overvalue your shit. Because right now, you know, look, you're talking, you're listening, you're not talking, you could be yelling at your device right now, I don't know. But you're listening to a guy here who has never seen a single episode of Game of Thrones. You know why? I never got the HBO subscription. You know why? There's nothing really there I want to watch. I got 10 million other free things that I can get myself into and have a lot of fun with just on the Roku device alone. Shit, Pluto TV. Have you seen this? You can get, you go to Pluto.tv. It's like literally like 500 channels, everything from music to movies to television shows, all sorts of crazy stuff. And it's free because they run commercials in it. What's wrong with this? Nothing. That's kind of how things are going. Because see, now what's going to happen ultimately is all of these little fish are going to pull off chunks of these ideas and say, well, we're going to start doing this and charging for this app, and we're going to do this, we're going to make you charge for this, and then you want to access this stuff, and you're going to be nickel and dimed again. And next thing you know, you're back in that same boat again as you were, you know, years ago when you were paying $200 a month for your entertainment. Is it worth it? Well, that's a subjective statement. It really is. Because what may be worth it for you may not be so much for me. So what? So that's the way it goes. But I'm telling you, on demand is kind of always where it's been headed. That's what people wanted. They, because the whole idea of having the DVR, because there for a, it was a, as far as was 6 months ago, it was a kind of a trend in promos for cable or television. They go, be sure and set your DVR for this one. You don't want to miss that. So as if you had on demand on your own deal, where you know you had to set up the recording and go and do it, as opposed to, hey, let the content provider, i.e. us, we put the show together. We just yak it out somewhere and stash it. If you want to go get it, you click on this, open this up, and then boom, there you are. It may have an ad in it. It may not. You don't pay anything to access this program, and yet we run two commercials on a promo in it. We do it all the time. We've been doing it. That's what keeps this thing on the air. So be that as it may, that fine balance has to exist. And I don't know. I, like I said, television, they embraced the internet pretty well. I think they're still reckoning with it, but I think there's a lot of corporate greed that is still trying to figure it out because they really want to maximize. They took a hit when cable television took the big hit. And now, see, there's all these other fights too. It's like, you know, I may or may not be correct. Dish Television is not caring, I think, CBS. Various cable companies have worked out or failed deals with other networks to provide their stuff because there's a lot of money that exchanges hands to make that happen. And some of these people are saying, well, you just want too much money. And so we said, well, you know, we're not getting what we're paying for and blah, 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 blah. And next thing is like, you know, fine, fuck you. We're going to drop you. And then all of your audience that's on our system won't get to see your stuff. And so how's that going to make you feel? So they hold your own programming hostage. That's what the cable companies were thinking. Well, everybody else was like, no, screw you. We got an app. We don't need you. Ooh, sick burn, bruh. Or, hey, Hulu has shown an interest in acquiring our signal for our on-demand stuff. There's something. cut you in on the deal for a couple of bucks. That kind of thing. Everybody now has options. It's like that scene toward the end of The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, the three-way quick draw in the cemetery, you know, spoiler alert, where the good, the bad, and the ugly are standing in that kind of that weird triangle, and they're all looking at each other, and the camera's going around in a dizzying thing, and everybody's watching each other. That's exactly what's going on right now. That is precisely what's happening in the world of television. Because you got a lot of players in this and a lot of heavy hitters. Look at what YouTube is doing. Oh my God, YouTube has got, they've got programming now. I sat here in my office one day working on a couple of documents, and on one of my screens I was had my work, and on the other screen I had a live baseball game that was happening that YouTube people themselves were doing the work on. They didn't sell a single ad in it, but it didn't matter. It showed that they could do it, and they had quality broadcasters that were doing it. They had the, you know, like the three guys up in the booth. So you had the play-by-play guy, you got a color guy, you got a commentary guy. Who's usually like a retired player, which it was. And then they got a one or two people down on the field for the interstitial stuff in between innings, and the post game stuff. And it was as if you're watching it on a network that is, oh, I don't know, professionally sports driven. But here's YouTube standing there going, huh? We can show you how this works. Yeah, this is how the cow ate that cabbage, biatch. We can do this too. And it's starting to happen. I tell you what else we're starting to happen is the whole internet famous group, the internet famous, the YouTube stars, the Instagram influencers. I think they're kind of going away because everybody's getting kind of sick of their shit too. But what's taking the place? Because when something comes in and takes up space and goes away, it creates a vacuum. What happens? Nature abhors a vacuum. So something fills in that space. What fills it up? Quality entertainment. Happens all the time. Quality product will take up the space of where something sucking was. Because that's just how that works. They don't call it suck for nothing. And so the old-timers start finding their way back into it. And they go, hey, look. Looky here. We got this platform here. This rocks. We can really do some pretty cool shit with this. And they are right. And they're attracting a large audience. You're seeing the quality of a lot of YouTube channels really starting to increase now. Yeah, there's some shitty ones out there, but you're starting to see that. But that just goes to show you how nimble video production can be and how video content can be. Audio content like podcasting, shows like this, is accessible to everybody and anybody with a microphone and a half-assed decent setup to make it happen. The problem is you got a lot of shows that sound like ass. And when that happens, well, then they don't have enough listeners. But there's a cost that goes into producing shows. And when that cost gets a little too much, the hobbyist goes, I can't do this. Screw this. I'm done. They hang up their headphones and they're out of the way. What happens? More people, those people that they had, start migrating to other shows. And then so the little fish keeps getting eaten until, you know, what's left, the big fish is still fighting out the other big fishes. That's how this works. That's the competition in broadcast. That's the competition in show business. The big fish right now in all of this is Disney. Yeah, look at that. Disney. Enormous Disney. I'm sure they're in the podcasting business. I'm sure they own a couple of networks that provide content that's out there. Is it any good? I don't know. I don't have the, I would think it probably would be. Disney is pretty picky about their content. And thus they should be. You know, you're not number one for no reason at all. You don't get that kind of money without, you know, really putting your shit together. Speaking of which, that leads us to an interesting point about what's happening in movie theaters. What's being released? What kind of movies are out there? What's worth getting? What's worth rolling the dice on to get people into the theaters? These days, not a whole heck of a lot. But Disney is now looking at it this way. They want to sink more money into blockbuster-type films, large, large productions that they know are going to drag people in, like the Marvel Comics universe, right? That's a big deal. They want to get into all of that. And they have been, and they're making bank on it all. And there's a whole, literally a whole universe there for them to play around with and make money off of. But the smaller films, the smaller projects, the smaller stuff, the little romantic comedies and shit, they're not going to put those on the big screen much longer, if at all. But they're going to wind up in Netflix. They're going to wind up in Hulu, Amazon, Apple, wherever, whoever's looking for that kind of content. And I think you'll see a revival in those types of genres of film because they'll actually do better in those on-demand environments. Look, I like going to the movies as much as the next guy. It's nice sitting in a nice, cool, dark room, decent, comfortable seat with a big bowl of very expensive popcorn, looking at a giant screen, a great surround sound system, and just getting sucked into a great film. There's something to be said for that. But we're starting to get to the point now, we've been doing this for a while, we kind of created that same environment at home, just without the jackass that's sitting in front of you with a mobile phone. Boy, I sound like an old man right there.
Well, he's sitting there in front of me with a mobile phone. Hey, old geezer. Shut up.
It's comfortable to sit at home because then I can pause my shit and go to the bathroom or fix my cocktail. I don't feel like I have to miss anything if I need to go take a leak. But what might drag me into a movie theater, a really large film that's got a lot of juice behind it. Something that I might want to see, something that's flashy and fun. You know, I want to be kind of tired when I get out of it because I want to be kind of beaten up a little bit. That's, you know, those types of films that are visceral and emotional. Those are good. And being a little bit more selective as to what you put on the big screen. Disney is thinking about doing this, and they've already kind of outlined their plan. You don't have to go far to find some of that stuff. But that's a pretty viable thing. Because what they're not putting on the big screen, they're still producing those other shows. Where are they going? To your screen at home. What used to be the direct-to-video thing back when Blockbuster was going? Hell, Tom Selleck made big bucks making a bunch of... He just made a shit ton of Westerns that nobody ever really paid much attention to except for the diehard Western fans and the diehard Tom Selleck fans. But he was making all of these films that went straight to VCR, VHS, DVD. Now, there's a whole cottage industry of shows that are being made specifically for, you guessed it, Netflix and Hulu. Original content. It's there. It's being funded. Will it be on your big screen? Nope. Probably not. No need to. It takes the risk out of the equation, if you think about it. It takes a lot of the risk out of it. Because you don't have to worry about who all is going to see it over the span of a week or two in a big theater, as opposed to you run it for, I don't know, 30, 60 days in Netflix land. And the next thing you know, you're getting kind of a residual audience that's building a little bit. And word of mouth spreads a little bit better because, you know, that film's going to be there for a minute. That's not that complicated. Television, you know, I think that going back to what I was talking about with those guys, they are pretty close to doing it right. But they're also at that precarious point. My estimation only, those of you in the business need to calm down. Those of you who might think I'm way off base here, whatever. The idea here is that if you create the quality content that's out there and offer it at something that is reasonable to the audience, in essence, either subscribe or give it away and give them ads. It's an either or. Don't do both. You try and do both, you're going to piss off people left and right. I know that's the case. A little food for thought. We'll pause. We'll be back. We'll wrap it up. Plus, the brand new bit, Unpopular Thought. What's up out of this? You're listening to it right here from Radioland. Don't go away.
It's summertime, and Wizards has all your outdoor fun covered. Memphis' number one alternative smoke and vape shop is your CBD headquarters, but they're not just a CBD or smoke shop. Novelty t-shirts, hats, sunglasses, and more. New stuff in the store every day. Woodwick candles, silver jewelry, tapestries, and candles, and really cool backflow incense burners. Great deals throughout the store. $19.99 Madison Avenue, open 10 to 10, 7 days a week. Online at memphiswizards.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related material.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
I think it's a valid question. Seriously, how much longer do you think Facebook is going to be able to maintain themselves? I mean, is it relevant now? As far as I can tell, not really. Does it do a lot for anybody? I don't know. Perhaps it does. It's a place for people to vent their spleens, perhaps, or at least share those hokey memes. And certainly it's been a place where people have posted the hideous, most hideous pictures of their children I've ever seen. But nevertheless, is its relevance that important to people? The only person that's really relevant to is Mark Zuckerberg and his guys. Because look how much money they're pulling off. And how are they doing it? Advertisement. They do it every stinking time. But it's not just advertisement they've got, my friends. No, they've got your data. But they use that data to sell to people so they can sell more ads. Makes sense?
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, Player.fm, Stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Here's what's coming up next time on the program.
Yeah, I swear to God, I look at some of the things that's out there, and it's like, you know, in your head, you're going, okay, what am I going to do for an episode of this program? And you kind of rack your brain for a minute, and you go, I think I'm overthinking this a little bit, and it's easy to do. You know, because you want to try and be reasonable. You want to try and be somewhat cerebral about things. And I thought we want, you know, television. I've been in the television industry. I have been in the radio industry. I've worked in broadcast. I get it. I still do. I think it's a valid question to bring up is how relevant some of this stuff is going to maintain itself to be. There's a lot more to it. There's so many facets of things like what the internet does provide, good and bad. I think there's, you know, it's two sides of the same coin. There are things out there that we could certainly be doing more with our time with. And then there's certain things that, you know, just because you can say it doesn't mean you should, you know, that kind of thing. Boy, howdy, there's a lot of that that's out there. And nobody's ever had their political opinions changed because of what you said online. That is, as far as I know, that has never happened. It's like finding the one guy that's overdosed on marijuana to the point where he died. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So I don't know. I wanted to lay it out there. Like I said, I like to lay out conversations in a manner that, yeah, here's how I feel about this sort of thing. And I'm not necessarily saying that I'm either right or wrong. That's just how I feel about some of these things. And it's meant for you to sit there and go, you got a point there, perhaps. I don't know. Or, yeah, this guy's full of shit. Prime example, which leads me into this. This is something that we've been kind of fooling around with, maybe putting it on the morning show at Radio Memphis. I don't know. But I figured let's run it here. If it goes okay for a while, it's a once-a-week bit here anyway. If it goes well, great. If not, whatever. But it's time now for Rick's unpopular thought. The Star Wars saga ended at episode 6. Fight me, bro. Seriously. Even the prequels were better than what the crap that came. 7 was just, oh my God, what a shitstorm. 8 was, what the? I didn't even watch that much of it. I had to turn away from it. I know, and it hadn't even come out yet. 9's going to blow wads. The saga ends at episode 6. Leave it at that. Instead, they had to pipe down and run up everything that everybody's asked about these side stories. Good God Almighty, Solo. Even though I didn't see it, there were just too much. I saw a couple of clips of it, and it just didn't look right. It just, I don't know, something didn't feel right about that film. Rogue One, I did see. The only thing good about it was the last 2 minutes, because I knew it was almost over. But it was kind of cool to see Darth Vader be the bad guy again. But if you think about it, when it comes to Star Wars, everybody that shares the beams and stuff are always sharing images of the older characters from episodes 1 through 6. None, hell, Jar Jar Binks gets more than whoever else is in 7, 8, and 9. That's just how that goes. Anyway, it's my unpopular thought. You're stuck with it, and now I gotta go. If you're consuming this program before 8 p.m. Central Time on this Sunday, the 11th of August, get on over to radio-memphis.com, open up the room there, and take a look at what's going on. Tonight on the Booze and Blues, it's our old friend Mr. Jimmy Crosswaite from Mud Boy and the Neutrons. He's going to be to tell some stories tonight, so it's going to be a big fun time in the studio. Got a house full this evening, so you can come join us at radio-memphis.com. Tune it in on any device. It'll be fun. I got to go. We'll see you next time. Until then, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.